think the devil's been trying to hoodwink us a little tonight in our song service. But that's just like that sorry rascal. But I'm telling you, I learned a long time ago, when the devil's trying to hinder is a good sign God's trying to help. That's a pretty good, a pretty good Bible truth. You'll find that always to come true. I want these folks to come on back in the auditorium. It's going to be difficult, really, to preach tonight, I feel like, already. I feel like it's going to be that way. And I want to ask you to try to help me if you can. If you know how to help. Surely everybody knows what S-M-I-L-E spells. And that'll help. Thank you, Brother Billy. That'll help. S-M-I-L-E. That's five. That's grace. I believe that'll preach. Amen. But try to give me as much attention as you can. Try not to be up moving around no more than we have to be. I want to suggest that you try to get the bathroom run done before I read the Bible. I don't like people running in and out when I'm trying to read the Word of God. Let's read together 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 again tonight, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Bible said in verse 1, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the day now, the grace that you've given to us. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be in the house of God, and I pray your divine help tonight. I'd ask you, Lord, to help still our minds and our hearts tonight and help us to think upon Christ. Help us to meditate, Lord, upon the divine glories of the cross and salvation that you provided for us there. Help us to think about the goodness of God in the land of the living, how you've blessed us and helped us. Provided for us all things, Lord, that we stand in need of. Thank you, Lord, for the watch care of our souls and for the eternal and everlasting life that you've given. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd bless me as I stand. I need your divine help. I pray you'll bless me spiritually. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God tonight. I pray you'd do that. Anoint me, I pray, with that Spirit of grace and power. Provide the liberty that's needed. I do pray again tonight for my body. Ask you, Lord, to help my throat that seems to be somewhat troubled and bothered these days. I pray for it, that you'd touch it with your Spirit. And, Lord, I pray you'd speak to hearts. For, Lord, at the utterance of Christ, mountains are moved out of the way. And at the utterance of Christ, all the worlds that now are were spoken into existence. Lord, by your very word, souls are saved. God's will is done. I pray you speak to hearts tonight and help us, I pray, to be obedient to that call of God upon our life. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I preached out of verse number 1 this morning. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. And tried to preach for a little while on the blessing of loneliness. Amen. And how we can take those lonely days and lonely nights when it seems that the devil has stolen our song and turned them into a blessing if we so desire. But I want to look at verse number 2 tonight. And really, I tried my best to come up with a title that I felt like would fit what I'm preaching on. And you know how Brother Nolan says a title is? It's like a curl in a pig's tail. It's cute, but doesn't add a bit of flavor to the pork. And so titles are just titles. It's what's behind the title that makes a difference. But I'm going to be preaching basically out of verse number 2 tonight. And I want to preach on this thought, a man on a mission. A man on a mission. I believe that is what we find here in the life of Timothy. A young man, a young convert in the ministry of Paul. And it's here that Paul entrusts this young man with a special message to a special people that he might do what the apostle himself has been hindered from doing. Paul wanted and tried to go to Thessalonica. But he said in earlier verses in chapter number 2 that the devil hindered him. And for some reason or another that the Bible doesn't elaborate on, Paul was unable to make that trip. But he's got a faithful young man there by the name of Timothy. And he sends that young Timothy there to that church to establish them and to comfort them concerning their faith. That tells me that Paul had a great deal of respect and confidence in that young preacher. And that tells me also that that young preacher had a great deal of respect and confidence in the apostle. For he was definitely under the authority of Paul. It didn't say that the Holy Ghost separated him and sent him. It just said, Paul said, when I could no longer forbear, I sent Timotheus. In other words, I sent someone that I felt like would do the job in my absence. And that young man went there with a mission. He was a man on a mission. His mission, his purpose was to bring comfort and to bring a stability to the lives of those Christians there at Thessalonica. I think if we read on down through the chapter, we'll have to conclude that they have been somewhat swept off their feet by the tribulations and afflictions that beset them. I want to say even tonight on the authority of the Word of God that there's not many people tonight that are prepared for tribulation. There's not many saved people tonight who can really face afflictions and suffering and handle it in the right way. Many times when adverse situations in our life arises, it will sweep us off of our feet because we're not spiritually prepared in our heart to handle that. And Paul reminds these people of Thessalonica that while he was there with them, he told them that through much tribulation they must enter into the kingdom of God. Now, this is not my message tonight, but I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, that serving God is not always a bed of roses. In fact, the Bible said in 1 Timothy that we are a soldier of the cross. And we ought to endure hardships as a good soldier. When I spent a year and 13 days in Vietnam, it wasn't always at base camp. And some of you would think base camp was horrible, some of you ladies especially. But I'm telling you, it was like living in paradise compared to a foxhole. That army cot with a blanket over me felt a whole lot better than a poncho liner laying out in the open rain, trying my best to stay dry and duck Charlie's bullets. And when I got there, it felt, I mean, back in base camp, it really seemed like a luxury to Brother Hall. I want to say on the authority of the Word of God, it is not always going to be a bed of roses. And you better be prepared for the hard times as well as the good times. Oh, I know we want to stay on that mountaintop, but I'm telling you, it's not on the mountaintop where God always decides to keep us. There are valley experiences that we can learn from and find great help in, and God will draw very nigh to us in that valley if we'll draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to us there. He can teach us some great and wonderful things. And here is some people that were apparently somewhat distraught because they had come under situations that didn't seem pleasant to them. And they really didn't know how to handle them. And here is an apostle that I found that church and preached to them, and they're his converts. And he is a real man of God, ladies and gentlemen. He is not Mama called and Papa sent. Paul was a man that was really called of God. And that man called of God had the betterment of the lives of those people at heart. He wanted them to have the very best of God they could possibly have. And wanted them to lead the very best life to the glory of God that they could live. And it grieved him because he is unable to get there where they were. And so he chose Timothy and sent young Timothy along to take care of the job. And we find that young man on a mission. I've said already that Timothy was a convert of Paul. But I hadn't said that he had patterned his life after the apostle's life and was very unique in his Christian devotion. I don't know if I'll ever get to where I'm going tonight. But I want to say if there is one thing lacking in our churches today, it is our devotion to Almighty God. I'm afraid we have settled down on our knees and we're comfortable with the world and we're comfortable living in the world and we're comfortable with what we have right now. And there's really not great dedication or great devotion. There is not a fervent spirit. There is not a whole lot of zeal when it comes to serving God. But here was a young man that had patterned his life after the apostle and was devoted to Christ in everything that he did. Amen. In fact, Paul writes him in 2 Timothy 1:4, and he said, Timothy, I'm greatly desiring to see thee, and I'm being mindful of your tears. And if you'll read through the lines there, I believe that you'll find a young man that is suffering from ministry fatigue, and he's broken in heart, and he's carrying a load that nobody knows anything about. And yet, he never complains to Paul. Even under a load that nobody knows is carrying, and under a broken and a burdened heart, and no doubt the weight of the ministry has loaded this young preacher down until he feels like he cannot go on, and yet somehow, because of the love of Christ, he goes on and serves God anyway. I want to tell you, we need that kind of devotion today. God help us in our Baptist churches to find that kind of dedication. I'm telling you, athletes are more dedicated to the sports world than we are to Christ. I saw that picture of those four ball players sitting on the bench, and here they sit over there like this. I told Miss Hall, I said, or take that and show it to our church. You know what their problem is? They don't have any victory. They lost. They were somewhat humiliated. They lost. I'm telling you, that's our problem today. We're living like we're lost. But we have, we're not lost. We have already won the battle. We are already more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I'm telling you, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus the Lord, church. Not tribulation, not famine, not sword, not principalities, not powers. There's nothing in heaven or earth or under the earth that can separate us from that love. If we'll ever learn that, we won't be like them boys. But I'll tell you what they'll do. They'll spring back and be ready for the next ball game. But I don't see much spring back in Baptist today. We get a little 1-2 punch to the jaw of the devil and we're down for the count. But I'm telling you, I've already read the last chapter in the book. And you can sit on your stool and do nothing if you want to. But I've been to Calvary and been born again. My soul has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I am gone to glory and I'm heaven bound with the hammer down, ladies and gentlemen. I don't intend to back up. And I ain't going to wait on you. My suggestion be put the pedal to the middle and come on. Amen. So this young man was devoted, even in suffering, ministry fatigue and with a broken heart, he continued to serve his God. He was also a very unselfish man in his behavior. Don't you know that he had rather stayed there with Paul? I know when I left Bible Baptist Church, I'd have much rather stayed with Brother Nolan. Well, I had her made in the shade there, buddy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. At the time, I didn't give a flip for your state. Although I married a girl from down here, I didn't want nothing to do with Kentucky. I'm a Hoosier boy. But now, after the Lord brought me over to Rumsey and showed me that little river at town, well, I tell you, God took the heart of a Hoosier and transplanted it down here and made a real Kentucky boy out of me. And now I don't like getting outside the state, praise God. I'm telling you, I love where I'm at, hallelujah to God. I didn't want to leave, but now that I left, I'm glad that I came, glory to God. Now, I didn't want to be unselfish and stay there. And Timothy didn't want to be selfish, rather. I didn't want to be selfish and stay there. And Timothy didn't want to be selfish. He was a very selfish, very unselfish young man. Amen. Knowing that he'd have it much better there with Paul, who would fight his battles with him. Yes, rather than fighting battles on your own. You know what's wrong with some of you? You can handle battles here. But you can't handle battles on your own. Yes, it's them battles that you've got to fight in your heart and mind you can't handle. Yes, and you've not got enough grace to lean upon God and trust Him for it. God help us tonight. God help us tonight to realize that we've got one that desires you and I to lean upon Him and learn of His power and strength and glory and ability to deliver us from all of our troubles and all of our enemies. Praise His wonderful name. Lord, I'm about to get up out like a novice. I'm about to get excited. Amen. He was unselfish. Very unselfish young man. Now I hope I pronounce this word correctly. I had to look it up and I wanted to get everything alliterated, you know. Timothy was unsullied in his life. That is, ladies and gentlemen, he was as clean as a hound dog's tooth. His life was immaculate. There's nothing at all in the Bible contrary to a young preacher by the name of Timothy. I'll tell you, when Paul looked for a replacement, he didn't look for somebody that was wickeder than the devil. Sat with a television set around their neck, couldn't miss the soaps. I'm telling you, I sat down there in the doctor's office on last Thursday in that waiting room, and they had some of them soaps on. And I'm going to tell you what, they needed some soap because they was filthy. Yeah, amen. They need a little soap. I'm telling you, any man or woman that would waste their time watching that bunch of tomfoolery and nonsense ain't got an ounce of sense. You are dumber than a box of rocks, ladies and gentlemen, to waste your time watching that mess on the television set. God, if somebody said, I want to live like them, you'll never live like imagination. That's all that is an imaginary make-believe world, and you will never get there. I just got a glimpse of glory just now. I'm serious. I got a glimpse of it. God help, I felt a real surge in my soul. Amen. Why waste our time on trivial things that we'll never attain to when we can seek the power of God and it is something that we can have in our life? Amen. He didn't waste himself on the soaps. He didn't waste his time on the wildcats, bobcats, or pussycats. He was clean. He didn't smoke, chew, nor run with the crowd to do. He didn't cuss his wife, not verbally or with the horn. He was kind and compassionate. He always had a kind word for everybody. Amen. Except the devil. Amen. We ought to speak words of kindness to all that we come in contact with. But I don't have a kind word for him. Amen. Can I say this to you tonight? I've never told you this, but when I'm making my notes, If I come to a text, hey kids, hey, hey. If I come to a verse of Scripture and it's got speaking about the Lord and it says He, I capitalize He. That sentence, no structure, don't call for to be. I capitalize it. So when I come to a word verse that's got the word devil or Satan capitalized, I put a small D and a little S. I ain't about to capitalize nothing that devil does, buddy.
Amen.
Amen. And if you take off the S and the A, you'll have tan, and that's what he's going to get one of these days. He's going to a real tanning booth.
Amen.
Amen. Say tans, get ready to get tan. And these bills, get ready to get bills. I'm glad, thank God, I've got a God that has power over the devil tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Whatever he said. It's a man that Paul sent now to establish them and comfort them in the midst of tribulation and affliction. I see three things here in the Scripture on his mission I want to point out to you. And if you'll bear right with me, in about 3.5 hours, I'll be done, I promise you. I see three things. Number one, look here, it says, and I sent Timotheus, our brother. I see, number one, a relationship that he had to Paul and to the church. He didn't say, I'm sending you Timothy, my brother, or Timothy, your brother. Timothy, our brother.
Right.
He's writing to a church, and he's telling them, Timothy is my brother, and Timothy is your brother, and Timothy and us being brothers, he's got a relationship to you, a relationship to me, but guess what? We all have a relationship to God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he said, there's a relationship there. He's called our brother and our fellow laborer. I want you to notice and carefully what I'm saying here. There's a holy brotherhood of the household of faith, of which we should have a peculiar love for all believers. We should have a sympathetic concern for all humanity, but I'm telling you there is a peculiar love for the brethren. God has given us an unfeigned love of the brethren. In other words, you don't tell somebody today you love them and stab them in the back tonight. There is an unfeigned love of the brethren, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, there is something about this Christian life that is thicker than blood and water. I'm glad, thank God, the Holy Ghost has got a stronger tie on me, buddy, than what the world has got or what my own family's got. When it comes to my family or serving God, I'm going with God, ladies and gentlemen. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Amen. And somebody else say amen. I want to get back on the booze here in a minute now. Wildcats. Amen. Somebody needs to get on them. Are you listening to me? There's a special love we ought to have for the love of all saints.
Amen.
Listen what John said in 1 John 4:20. He said, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar.
Amen.
Don't tell me you love God and hate your brother. I know somebody said, you don't know what his brother, what my brother's done to me. No, but I know what some of my real brothers have done to me.
Amen.
And I still love them. And I know what some brothers in Christ have done to me, but I still love them.
Amen.
Why? Because we're brothers and we're human and we make mistakes, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
And we're compelled by the Word of God, and there will be a love of God that shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I'm telling you, one of the greatest things that we can do is learn to love.
Amen.
You can go out here and call me whatever you want to call. I don't think I'm a compromiser. We need to learn to love people. And there ought to be a peculiar love for the brotherhood. Why? Because we're brothers.
Amen.
We're sisters.
Amen.
What Paul tells Timothy, treat the older women as your mothers or something, and the younger women as your sisters.
Amen.
That's right. We're related.
Amen.
And we've got it. We're also blood related.
Right.
Amen. if you've got the blood on your doorpost. Son, I'm in that hole. Praise God. I'd like to shout it out, jump the pew and go to the house, Lord of God. I'm glad that the blood of the Paschal Lamb has been applied to my doorpost and the lintels of my heart. Thank God that the hyssop has been used and the blood's applied, ladies and gentlemen. When the death angel goes by, he'll have to knock and knock only, but he can't come in. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Is anybody listening to me? There is a common identification that we all have with Christ. That's right. Everywhere I go that me and Benny's together, somebody come up to me and said, you know something? Say, man, Benny looks just like you. I thought, well, no kidding. Wonder where he gets that from. I've had people to look at my pictures when I went in the military and people say, man, that looks just like Benny. No, that don't look just like Benny. Benny looks just like that. And God don't look like me. Hey, Christ don't look like me. I look like them. Amen. I'm telling you, there's all. We all have a common ID with Him. Can you identify with Him tonight? Woo! I'm not ashamed to be identified with Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. All that believe to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Hallelujah. Woo! My Lord, hallelujah. Amen. Listen now. It is one grace, the grace of God that saves all of us. It's one blood, the blood of Jesus, that cleanses us all from sin. It's one life, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that has quickened us. It is one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that unites us. It is one book, the Word of God, the Word of God that is a basis for our faith. It is one house, the house of God, where we all meet and worship Him. I'm telling you, we got a lot of things in common, ladies and gentlemen. And I say this to you, if you're saved or not, you come out of the same birth canal I did. Not a plurality of ways, ladies and gentlemen, one way. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, being all brothers and sisters, there is a similitude in likeness. Amen. Somebody said, well, that person over there don't act like a Christian. Chances are they might not be Aryan. Well, I heard them cussing the other day. Say people don't cuss. Amen. I saw them tucking a cigarette the other day. Say people don't smoke. Not for long. They might for a while, but it won't last long. I've seen some of these fellas run around with hair down over their ears, and they talk about being in singing groups. Hey, saved people cut their hair. Saved people don't dip snuff. As a preacher over in one of the counties over east, must dip snuff. Calls himself a man of God. He's a deceiver is what he is. He wouldn't know God. You can tell him I said so. Amen. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we're all the children of God. And He disciplines, corrects, and chastens every child whom He loves. Mark her down. If you're God's, He will bring you up right. He's not like some of us. Let our children have free course. And by the way, youngins, been found a whole lot of candy wrappers and stuff all over the building. You're going to have to cut down on that now. I've been noticing a whole lot of running and misbehaving. You're going to have to cut back on some of that stuff now. Amen. By the time I step in a big piece of bubble gum, I'm going to get hot. I'm charging none for that. Not only do we have a common identification with Christ, I'm trying to hurry for your sake. Some of you look like you just died. We all have a common interest in each other. I want to ask you something. Do you have an interest in your brothers and sisters? Does it not grieve your heart when your fleshly kin are grieved? Does it not cause some sort of struggling emotion in your breast when there is a tragedy in your family? Sir, ma'am, should there not be that same sympathy and love and concern for our spiritual family? I'm going to tell you, we're all one happy family, whether we like it, lump it or not, we are. Listen carefully. The branches of a vine are united to each other. Even so, you and I, as members of His, as a body of Christ, because of our union with the head.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, we all got a common interest in one another. Is anybody listening to me now? Paul said in Ephesians 4:19, from whom the whole body, get this now, I'm saying we all got a common interest. When one hurts, the other ought to hurt. When one grieves, we all ought to grieve. When one rejoices, we all ought to rejoice. Now, I'm going to give you a verse. I just might as well read it now. 1 Corinthians 12:26. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all. That word in the Greek, you know what it means? It means all. All members rejoice with it. And we do for this reason. Listen carefully. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the whole body, the edifying of itself in love.
Amen.
That's Ephesians 4:19. Now I want to ask you something tonight. Look, come on, just look at me. We're getting ready to preach and getting right. We may not get out here for a little while. I feel mean straight coming on. He said, every joint supplies. Let me ask you something tonight. And every joint supplies that to the working and edifying of this body in love.
Amen.
Let me ask you something tonight. What are you supplying?
Right.
Yes,
sir.
Every joint supplies. What are you supplying?
Amen.
To this body? What are you doing to make this body function as a body in Christ? Well, Brother Hall, I'm not doing nothing. My God. Maybe that's why the body ain't moving.
Amen.
If the leg don't move, we got to find a crutch.
Right.
If the eye won't look, we're blind. If the ears don't hear, we're deaf. If we don't hear in the ear, we cannot hear from heaven. If our eyes are blind, we cannot see where we're going.
Right.
If our legs are broken, we cannot walk with God.
Amen.
I want to ask something. What are you supplying? Every joint. By the way, that word every in the Greek, are you ready for what it means? Every.
Yep.
And so according to that, everybody in here is supplying something.
Amen.
And what if that one joint's poison and it's spreading poison through the body?
Amen.
What if the belly's got sour stomach?
Amen.
I'm being facetious now. What if we got a headache? Stomach ache. What are you supplying to this body to make it prosper and profit? Come on, I'm in some of your tater pats right now. Hey! It's no time to back up, sit down, and quit. This is a body of Christ, and I believe we got a number in here that are saved, and we're going to glory together, and we're going to live together forever. I'd hate to think we cannot get along here, but we depend on getting along up there. Well, that's that verse I started reading a while ago. If we can't love our God whom we have not seen, if we can't love our brother whom we have seen, how do we love God whom we've not seen? I've already gotten some of your tater pats. According to the effectual working in the supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. How much have you got measured out to you? You got a full cup tonight? I'm there right where we got to be, church. I need revival. Some of you need revival. My God, those of you that are halfway in there and trying to, hey, look around you, those that are not. I tell you, we've got a common interest in one another. It is to, hey, that joint that may be hurting or the leg broken in is our responsibility to take up the slack.
Amen.
And help them drag that leg.
Amen.
Or that ankle broke. To help them walk on that fractured ankle.
Amen.
Thereby, hey, how much measure you got? Measured in every part, he said.
Great.
Got a full measure, half measure, quarter measure? Or are you just about your well run dry?
Great.
I'm getting ready to run my head through the wall.
Great.
If your wells run dry, come on up here where I'm at, praise God, and I guarantee you, you'll get full again. Because I've got my bucket full and running over. Praise God, I'm drinking out of the saucer tonight. I feel three times saved over. Hallelujah, and shame on the devil. Now, I'll tell you, if every joint in here is supplying very little and you measure just about run dry, if I can keep my cup full, will you pray that I can? Well, if I can keep my cup full, I'll give you a drink every now and then.
Amen.
It's like that old eagle that's airborne, feeding that when it's in moping season.
Amen.
That old eagle in moping season gets on the ground and he gets moping around. That's what they call it now. They don't know. His heart's grieved. And he stays on the ground so long he gets sores on his feet. He won't fly, won't find food, but I'm going to tell you, there's always a venerable old eagle somewhere up in the sky. Like they fiddle, like them ravens fed Elijah. Amen. Y'all ain't lost me, have you? That old and venerable eagle come flying down with a little piece of meat and drop it to that eagle that's on the ground in moving period. And I'm telling you, he'll build up the strength, and it won't be long till that eagle will be back in the air, soaring high in the sky. Woo! So let's soar like an eagle tonight. Let's get out of the moping period. Let's get off the ground. I'm trying to drop you a good slab, a hunk of meat, hallelujah to God, and give you a drink, a little drink of water now.
Amen.
Try to get you out of that moping period. If your measure is dry, I'll do my best. Seen him ducking. I like that Cameron took that picture right then. I throw it back there sometime. I don't throw it out there too often. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, maketh increase of the body unto the measure of every part. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What are you doing to edify this body? You know what edify? Hey, the body is edified. We'd never edify Christ. You cannot build him up. He just is. Woo! I like it, but there ain't nothing left to build. He's done got all he'll ever need. But I'll tell you, the body every now and then needs building up, ladies and gentlemen. And the body needs edified. The body needs encouraged. The body needs help.
Sometimes that encouragement has to come by rebuke. Sometimes it comes just simply by putting your arm around somebody's shoulder and telling them you love them. Sometimes it's just being patient and long-suffering, not knowing what our brother's going through. And just praying for them while we know they're in that valley. I'm telling you, I've got to admit I've got a little cross with some of you sometime because I've labored and tried to give you help and you don't seem to get any help or don't want. Sometimes I get frustrated. And sometimes I'll probably say what I ought to say, but I'm telling you, for the most part, I'm trying to help you. I want to edify this little body of believers in Madisonville. I want you to be building up till we learn to love. Hallelujah to God.
Love one another. Love sinners. Love Jesus. And love not the world and the things that are in the world.
It's
always a negative side to everything, and I like to hit it all.
Amen.
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 Trying to hurry now. We are all stewards, and we're to occupy until he comes.
Amen.
We're all slaves, and we're under his lordship, and do as he bids us. We're all partners and we labor together with Christ. We are all instruments to be used
by him as he sees fit. I want to be an instrument in the hands of God to be used. I want you to listen carefully. What I'm getting ready to tell you. Listen carefully. It is not the brush that paints a beautiful picture. It's the artist that holds the brush in his hand. It is not the chisel that makes the statue, but the sculptor who uses that chisel. We went up and saw Mount Rushmore several years ago in Elizabeth where she had the faces. I want to see the faces, Poppy. I want to see the faces. We saw the faces. And I thought of all the work and the labor that went in on that. And people would, hey, look here, people will drive for miles around and stand and admire that beauty of that thing. How they cut those four faces in that mountainside. Perfect bust top figure of those four great men of our country. And I marveled as I stood there and looked at it. But the man that done it is dead and gone. And its beauty did not derive of itself. That mountain didn't just say one day, I'm going to have four faces and Shazam, four faces. I'm going to tell you, it took the talent of a man that knew what he was doing with the chisel. It wasn't the chisel that done it, but it was the man behind it. Are you ready? Hey, I want you to listen to me. It is not the piano. It is not this piano that makes sweet music for you. I'm doing all I can do, ladies and gentlemen. That wasn't very pretty, was it? Where you at, Elizabeth? Huh? Take some medicine. Come up here, Sister Hall. You won't mind doing it. See, here's... That's pretty, ain't it? Y'all want me to start playing the piano on Sunday? Maybe a special every now and then. Now, that piano there, hey, we're not going to change the piano. We've got the same piano. Sit down there and play. I'll fly away or song a little bit of that sis, if you would, please. A little different sound there, ain't it? The difference, ladies and gentlemen, is in those eight fingers and two thumbs that's on the keyboard. They make the difference. And I tell you, it is not the piano. It is, amen. It's not the chisel. It's not the brush. It is the man behind it. And it's not you and I that makes you and I. Woo! It's the man that's behind it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm just about to get done. Somebody said, I can't believe it. I'm telling you, I am. 8 o'clock. I'm hurrying. The relationship, I see a relationship. Notice, secondly, he said, to sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Amen. Not only do I see the relationship, the brother and fellow laborer, but I also see the realm of his service. He said, in the gospel of Christ. Amen. In the gospel of Christ. I'm telling you, hey, there's a man on a mission. He doesn't get carried away, ladies and gentlemen, with secular affairs. Amen, amen. I'm telling you, preachers are preachers, are preachers, are preachers. A man on a mission has got to be a preacher. His realm is in the gospel. If it cannot fit inside the gospel, leave it alone. So you men are falling because they're trying to make money. It is the root of all evil. It still finances and females will get the preacher. Amen.
walked in the church down there the other day, and a man was sitting there, had a woman in there, preacher, his wife. She wasn't dressed right. But he entered and said, "That's my wife." When we left, I said, "Well, it's good to meet y'all." I said, "I guess you're going home with your secretary here in a little bit." He's got his mouth. I said, "I'm one of the few men I know who can take off and run off with a piano player, and it'll be all right. You'll catch that after a while." Finances and females, ladies and gentlemen. Now I'm telling you, hey, look here. Men fall into a trap when they get their eyes off of him and off the work and the labor that God called them to. Oh, man, I'm telling you, I feel enough power in me tonight. Bless God to blow up Baghdad. Yes, a little old 165.9 tenths pound set full of roaring gospel dynamite. And I'm not bragging, I just know when God's around. Woo, hallelujah. Damn, you're getting peaked. You all right? You're a little, you're sick. It's showing. You all right? I didn't mean that way showing, you know what I'm saying? Listen what he said now. Listen. He said, in the gospel of Christ, amen, we're in the Lord, or in the Lord is the environment that we live in. In love is the atmosphere that we live in. In truth is the circle that we walk in. And in the gospel is the realm that we labor in. Amen. What a man on a mission, buddy. I'll tell you why Baptists are... Some of them are hurting tonight is because they've got Mr. Wiggle Britches that don't ever know how to pray and study the Word of God.
Amen.
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 When I get out of this book, you let me know. The gospel is like a magnet. It draws sinners. There's something about the gospel, about the life and the death and the burial and of Christ and his glorious resurrection that draws men. My only ambition in life is to see men come to Christ. And those men that come to Christ to be established in the faith. That's it. Talked to Brother Steve while I was with my son-in-law, Brother Steve. I said, it's my life. All my life. It's my whole life. Is preaching. If I had to sit on the shelf, I'd soon be dead. That's the realm God won Wednesday night. Said, "I want you." And ever since that Wednesday night, I've said, "Yeah, Lord, have thine own way."
I'll
tell you something, buddy. That is the realm of the work, and I'll tell you that I know that gospel is like a magnet.
Amen.
That draws people to it. I'll say this tonight, not bragging, but I believe that this church is going to grow more.
Amen.
I believe the ministry is going to grow.
Amen.
I believe we're going to grow because there's something here that you don't find nowhere else, and it's not because of me, buddy.
Amen.
It's because this body has been edified itself in love. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to say, praise God. The gospel is like a medicine to heal broken hearts. The gospel is like a mold that will fashion your and my life together.
Amen.
That's the realm of my service, ladies and gentlemen. That was his service. Said, you go down there and you establish, said, you go down there as a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. And when you get down there, Timothy, you establish them people. And you comfort them. You comfort them. And I'm closing with this. I've done said it so many times, but the reason for his mission. To establish and comfort them concerning their faith. Three short things and I'm done. There's three necessary things for you as a Christian to have. To have comfort. Concerning your faith. I will say, number one, there must be an unveiled face before God. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean an unveiled face? Stop trying to hide things from God. I wrote this little note down. Many lament their want of stability when they should be confessing their sin. Well, I'm just not quite stable, Brother Hall. I'm well, confess your sin and get right. You have got to have an unveiled face before God. Stay before God. Confess to Him. But I said, oh, I don't want Him to know everything I'm doing. He already knows it. God already knows it. And I'll tell you, there is no stability without confession of sin, forsaking of sin, finding mercy in your life because of your sin. I'm telling you, 99% of the wavering and up and down and in and out and in people's lives, somewhere in their heart, their sin they ain't got right with God about.
Amen.
I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you, it's somewhere. In here, in life.
I
take that back. I do know where some of it's at. But if you're going to be stable with God, look here. Trying to hide things from God can only create a sense of fear. I'm afraid of fear to find out. And there's a fear of other people finding out. I'm telling you, it ought not to be that way.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, the sooner you eat crow, the better. Well, if you eat crow while it's hot, you can get it down a whole lot better. Somebody said, well, I'm not running with the wrong crowd. Well, you may not be, but what are you doing in the body?
Amen.
Right. Unveil that face. If you really want to find comfort and stability in your life tonight, bear yourself to God. You already bear, but He wants you to bear yourself. You're not going to get help till you tell God what the problem is. So many people, rather than telling God what the problem is, they want to skirt the issue and get around God. Well, I want some joy in my life. You'll never have it with sin there. I want to pray God in my life. You'll never have it with sin there. Won't work. Some of you in here tonight need to quit playing church. Get your hind end up here on the altar. And get right with God and stand up in front of this church and tell this church, I have been wrong. I have been in sin. I asked you to forgive me. For hindering the work of God.
Amen.
Amen. Getting quiet. There's also got to be an unwavering faith in God's Word. I want to ask you something. I want to tell you something. We must believe in Christ, not something about Christ.
What
the Bible says about Him. I do too, but I believe in Him.
Amen.
Now you'll catch that after a while.
Amen.
Now I don't want to split theological hairs, but there's a difference in believing on Him, or should I say, believing something about Him and believing in Him. I'm going to tell you, I believe that He was born of a virgin long before He got saved.
Amen.
I believe that He lived and died. I believe He was the Son of God for a number of years. I believe that He was coming back to this earth. I believed everything that I'd heard in my childhood. I believed it all. But I'm going to tell you, there's one problem. I was lost.
Amen.
I believe some things about Him. But if you ever experience it, you'll believe in Him. That is, do what that book says it will do.
Amen.
Yeah, God help us. I'm digging now. That is right. An experience with God,
amen,
an encounter with God, and an experience with grace will change you.
Amen. Amen.
Stop believing some things that book says about Him and believe in Him. I'm going to tell you something. All these little boys here might look at me and say, "Preacher, get on my back. I'm gonna ride you around this church piggyback like Elliot Smith did." I might look and say, "Well, I think you can do it, but we don't have to prove anything. Come on, I'm gonna ride you." No, I believe it. I believe you. You can do it. Sure you can. I mean, you're strong, good, strong young man. You can do it. It'll be all right. No, come on, preacher. Get on here and take a ride. So I get on, and when I ride, I get off up here in the front, you know, I'm going to say, "Glory to God, he done it. He was able to do what he said he would do." And I'm telling you, if you ever come to the foot of the cross and have an experience with Almighty God, you will know he can do what he said he'll do. Amen. Hallelujah. You do believe the Bible, don't you?
Amen.
The Bible must be more than a book.
Amen.
It must be the voice of a living God.
Yes. Amen.
That's why you like this. Oh, it's a Bible, praise God, but I don't have to read it. If you're a child of God, you will read it. You may not read as much as somebody else, but you'll read it.
Amen.
I don't find any place in there where God gives us a certain amount we have to read. I've had preachers say, "Well, you need to read 15 chapters a day or 10 chapters a day." I don't find that in the Bible.
Amen.
I'd rather read one sentence and get a nugget from God and sit there and chew around on that as I would read 25 chapters and get nothing.
Amen.
Now, there's got to be an unceasing fidelity in God's work. Some people bemoan their laziness when they should be confessing sin again.
Amen.
Other people think they have a special vocation in finding fault with those who are working. "Well, you know, I'm not going to do that. It's all wrong anyhow. But if I'd done that, I'd do it better than they're doing it." Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. They're doing a poor job. Why don't you quit dropping about it and you see the slack, supply a little bit in that joint you're supposed to supply and do it. Them fellas over there told me when they was building my house, I told Brother Steve Ford, I said, "Now, Brother Steve, I want you to do this like this. I don't want you doing it the way you're doing it." He looked over me in his mouth and said, "Do it yourself." "Well, I believe I'll let you do it." You might tell somebody, if you can do a little better job than they're doing, they might give you the opportunity. You might find out you can't do no better than what they're doing. Maybe even not as good as they're doing.
Amen.
Are you listening? I'm about done. I had to meddle a little while. In working for God, we must not look for the approval or the disapproval of friends or foes. If you're going to work for God, it does not matter what anybody says about you.
Amen.
If you know you're doing it with the right motive and you're right in your heart, don't worry about what anybody says. Friend or foe. When I called my pastor and said, "Brother Nolan, what do you think that I'm getting ready to?" I said, "I've quit my job." Now, this is when I was in Chicago. "I'm quitting my job. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to work a little while on deputation. In September, I'm going to Tucson, Arizona." He said, "That's the biggest mistake you ever made in your life. You'll starve to death." I ain't missed no meals yet. I called him and asked him about this church. I said, "Well, what do you think about Canada? I'm going down there in Canada. I was at Bill Stott's house. I said, what do you think about me candidate for that house?" He said, "You asked me, I'm going to tell you." He said, "You better get away from him and leave it alone. Ain't nothing but a bunch of devils." He said, "You won't last 6 months. Ladies and gentlemen, if I make it to the 17th day of this month, it'll be 17 years.
Amen.
Now, I ain't never listened to what somebody else tells me. I weigh it out, right or wrong, but I'm going to do what God tells me to do.
Amen.
And you're going to have to, too.
Amen.
That's right. Just keep on persistently continuing in well-doing.
That's right. Amen.
For in due season, you will reap. If you faint not.
Amen.
I won't say this tonight. I marvel at Brother Gray. I really do. He's been, I don't know how many years, in Old Shawneetown. You know, and I've heard him say something about praying about resigning, had considered it. And I'll be honest, I don't think God would hold him accountable if he did. But I got to give him credit, buddy. Regardless of what anybody said, contrary to what he's doing, he has stayed there and done what he felt in his heart like God wanted him to do.
Amen.
And somewhere, sometime, somehow, down the road, God's going to reward him for that. I think of Brother Tim Perry. Brother Tim stayed over in Missouri and had one person come into church. One person. And stayed there for three or four or five years. And now he's pastoring a good church over around Somerset. Stayed there, stayed with it, and God rewarded
him. Amen.
I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot be detoured by the voice of man. You better stay in that book and listen to the voice of God. And he'll never tell you to do anything contrary to that Bible.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, it wouldn't matter to me if an angel come down and said, hey, you've got to quit preaching the gospel. I'd say, angel, you didn't call me. Go back to heaven.
Amen.
That's right. Somebody come and said, God told me that you need to resign this church. I'd say, I'm waiting on God to tell me that, buddy. If one of you come and said, preacher, I think we'd be better off if you left. I'm waiting for God!
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe God's ever going to tell me that. I believe I'm going to heaven from right here.
Amen.
And if he calls tonight, I think I hear him say, enter thou good and faithful servant into the joy of thy Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to keep on hammering the book at you.
Amen.
And may the great God of glory help us all.
Yes, amen.
Edify one another in love. As a man on a mission, God has sent me. Used to be detoured
Amen.
From the call of God. Let's stand together.